This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Imagine leaving the U.S. only once in your entire life, never really thinking international travel was possible, and then one random podcast episode cracks your world wide open. That's exactly what happened to today's guest, Lane. He reached out and said something that I loved. Your audience needs to hear what it's like for someone who is actively a beginner in points and miles. And he's right, because in just a few months, he's gone from clueless to confident, from swiping a single Southwest card to building out Amex and Chase strategies, tackling business cards, learning transfer partners, and reshaping what he thought travel could look like. If you're a beginner wondering where to even start, this conversation will meet you right where you are. And if you're an expert, well, you'll appreciate seeing this hobby through fresh eyes again.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Have another fantastic guest I am excited to introduce to all of you today. But before we introduce him, a couple quick reminders. First off, you can catch all these episodes in their full entirety on our YouTube channel, which is linked in the show notes, as well as we do have our vlog style videos and travel content on our other YouTube travel channel, which is Boldly Go Travels. That is also linked in the show notes. For those of you that watch our episodes only on YouTube, don't forget every Friday we release our quick hits. That's kind of your up-to-date news in the world of points and miles and travel, but that only comes out on the audio-only versions of the podcast. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can catch the RSS feed for the podcast itself. And wherever you're listening or watching this, as always, please don't forget to give this a like, subscribe. Would love a 5-star rating, love a review, all of those good things. Now, for today's guest, I'm super excited to introduce Lane. And Lane actually has been a listener of the podcast, not for years, but for months, and has been into points and miles, not for years, but for months. And Lane actually reached out to me and said, hey, I think I could give a valuable perspective of what it's like being an active beginner in the world of points and miles. And he used a phrase, which I love, which he said, going from clueless to confident. And a big portion of that has been through this podcast and just the general points and miles community. So we wanted to talk about what a beginner who's actively a beginner, and we're all learning, we're constantly learning, even myself, 10 years plus in, we're all learning, but wanted to have a conversation with someone who's actively learning, actively a beginner, but leveling up very quickly. Lane, welcome to the show.
Oh, DeAndre, great to see you, my friend. I listen to you on my walks at the end of every day. And I got to tell you, I usually listen at 1.5 to 1.8 times speed. So you being normal speed is going to take me a second to get used to. But hey, man, I am pumped to be here. And thanks so much for having me. I greatly appreciate this.
I appreciate you saying that. It's funny that you say that because I listen at the same speed, usually like 1.8x. And sometimes when I'm going back and listening to myself, I'm like, why am I talking so slow? So I appreciate that I'm not the only one that does that as well. So Lane, let's get a little bit of background, because I know one of the things you also said to me that was really interesting is that you really haven't left the country in years, and yet you found the world of points and miles. So before we get into all that, would love to hear a little bit about yourself. So where are you? Where do you live? And ultimately, how did you find this world of points and miles?
Yeah. So I live in Gainesville, Georgia. So just north of Atlanta. I've lived pretty much in the Southeast my entire life. And as it relates to the what I do for a living, I'm a CEO of a nonprofit in Gainesville. And that's a lot of kind of why I reached out to you as well, the nonprofit piece and how I think there's lots of folks who could benefit from learning more about points and miles. But how did I fall into this? Because you're right, this isn't something I've been doing for years. This really started at the end of July. I was listening to a different podcast, not a miles podcast. And that guest at the time had Chris Hutchins on. And I know you've had Chris on your show because I've heard him on your show. And I lit up when I did hear him on your show. But he was talking with Tim Ferriss on his podcast. Tim Ferriss has millions of miles that he's built up. And Chris was on the show really helping Tim think through what could you do with all of those points and miles. And it was fascinating because it wasn't what I expected. And listening to all the language, all the words, none of it made sense, quite frankly. And the volume of what Tim had, just nothing I could relate to. So at that point, you know, I listened. I was like, man, I am clueless. I do not have any idea what's going on, what this is. And that's really when I went down that rabbit hole. I didn't just put a foot in. I dove in head first. And that's the way I am. That's my personality. And I have been consuming podcast. I mentioned you, others, blogs, researching. I mean, to say that I'm all in at this point, the goal is to go from clueless to confident, probably still on the clueless side a little bit farther than the confident, but I'm making some good headway.
I absolutely love that. And love that you have a background in nonprofit work. Myself, I serve on a number of boards here locally, and the amount of time needed to be able to work with and connect with a charity or a nonprofit, it's a lot of work. And obviously, it's one that typically speaking for most individuals, the amount of effort and work they put in, similar to teachers in other industries, aren't reflected in their paychecks as well. So kudos to you for being in the nonprofit sector like that. I know we were talking off air, you've mentioned that you've been in the nonprofit world a very, very long time. So I'm curious how someone that has not had a ton of international travel, what made this attractive to you? Did this tell you, oh, this is my opportunity to now travel affordability-wise, time-wise? What's made this more attractive just beyond the fact of, oh, I didn't know there's this world of points in general? Because I could see where that could make sense for someone that's like, I'm always paying cash out of pocket to go all over the world. But it's a little bit different for someone that's not been as adventurous. So I'm curious, where did the connect happen there?
Yeah, super solid question. So I guess what I should say is what I did know about the points and miles is probably 11 years ago, my wife signed up for a Southwest card. And that's what we used. I mean, that's what in any purchase, didn't matter what it was, that's what we used. And she was always saying, oh, we can book this on points or we can fly here on points. And I'm like, that's great. I don't even really know what that means, but she was happy with it. I was happy with it. And so it's interesting when I really started thinking about points and miles in general, you're right. My travel history is very, very limited outside of the States. And in fact, I got a passport for the first time in my life 12 years ago, right before we got married. And so did my wife. And it was for our honeymoon. So we went to St. Lucia. Amazing time, amazing trip, beautiful. One of the Sandals all-inclusive. And it was amazing, right? And I'm thinking, hey, we should do this more often. And here we sit 12 years later. And guess what? My passport is expired. That's a problem if you want to travel internationally. So yeah, to say that I am an international traveler couldn't be farther from the truth. But that being said, I think the idea behind this for me is it's now possible. And thinking in terms of, you know, my progression in my career, you know, 22 years ago when I started in the nonprofit space, you know, I made $18,000 a year and I worked 70 to 80 hours a week. And that's not uncommon, sadly, for many, many nonprofit professionals. Now, I've been very fortunate and blessed over the years to advance in my career. And, you know, once I made $36,000 a year, I thought I was Rockefeller, right? But all that to say, you know, folks in the nonprofit space don't make what they can in the for-profit world. And so for me, thinking about that, it's almost like service, right? I mean, what I do is about giving back and serving others and has been for quite some time. And I think there's opportunity as it relates to points and miles for other folks to be able to use kind of their everyday spending. and to be able to reap some of the benefits of that. And many, 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 many people do not have any idea about this. I talk to my team all the time at different points. I mean, I had one of my teammates talking about just yesterday, she wanted to fly to Japan for her 40th birthday. And, you know, and of course, my ears perk up. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Where do you want to go? And how are you going to get there? And she said, well, I have a Amex Platinum card. And I said, oh, wonderful. I said, we should talk. And then we started talking and she has the Delta card. And so anyway, 5 months ago, I would have said, oh yeah, Japan sounds wonderful and you should go there and good luck. But the way that I'm now interacting with people and trying to begin to educate folks on this so they can begin getting benefits is tremendous. My personal take on all this is there's lots of places I can go. And maybe I never really thought they were possible before, but now, I mean, it's kind of limitless, right? I mean, the idea is you can pretty much go anywhere in the world. And to me, that's very exciting. So to go from knowing nothing to hopefully becoming an expert and continuing to learn and being able to create these memories with my wife, gosh, that's priceless.
I love that, Lane. I absolutely love kind of the whole thought process and the journey there. So let's actually get into the weeds a little bit more about yourself specifically, because you said you dove right in. And there's a few different ways someone can traditionally dive right in. They can be the ones that do all the research and all the analysis and very strategically and systematically kind of figure out after digging through hours and days and weeks, okay, I'm going to start with this card, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. And there's the other person that's just like, they saw one blog post that said, this is a good card. And they're like, you know, I'm going to get that. And then I'm going to keep going. And then they're off to the races and they kind of figure out as they go, right? So they have the super analytical, kind of slower moving researcher and the person that just kind of no chill, full send. I'm just going to start and my velocity is going to be strong. So I'm curious, what path were you on, or were you somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, so maybe in the middle, and depending on the day, maybe one side or the other, right? Part of that's just kind of the way that I'm wired. So when I heard that first podcast, Chris Hutchins, he was really talking about at that moment, I remember he kept talking about Amex Gold, Amex Gold, Amex Gold. Again, I didn't know anything about Amex Gold. Never had an Amex card in my life, had one credit card, that Southwest card. And so within 2 weeks, guess what? I had an Amex card and an Amex Gold card at that. And so I went straight in. I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm getting an Amex card. She's like, wait, what? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And in my excitement and gusto, I tried to explain all the things about points and miles, you know, with my 2 weeks of knowledge. So when I went in, I mean, I started listening to these podcasts. I found you and some other folks. I started reading, doing all the beginner type opportunities, like on your website, for instance, and really tried to educate myself. But at the same time, my patience isn't one of those that I'm going to take 12 weeks to wrap my arms around it completely. And I really just wanted to start. And that's what I did. So Amex Gold to the rescue was my first card. And since then, you know, the velocity has picked up. There are other cards. And then I recruited my lovely wife as a second player for me in this game.
So that was going to be my next question was, what was your wife's reaction then? And has she moved into being a willing player too? Because a lot of times the stories of the player two typically kicks in. I mean, there's the type that like, oh, we're doing this. Okay, let's do it. But I think a lot of times it's a lot of hesitation until they take that first trip. They're flying, I don't know, business class. I'm like, how the heck did we afford this? And they're like, okay, now I'm in. I know you're still new. I don't believe we've taken a pretty ambitious or a big trip or had a big redemption yet. But what did it take to get her on board? Or was it just a simple like, hey, we're going to do this and I need your help?
Yeah. So this is a good one. My first big trip, right? I'm assuming you're not talking about Birmingham, Alabama, right? That wouldn't qualify as a big travel trip in your mind.
I mean, a big travel trip is going to be different for each individual person. So if that was a memorable, life-changing trip for you guys, I'm going to sign off on it. I'm not going to knock any trip, whether it's to Birmingham, Alabama or the Maldives. If it was big and memorable, it's a big and memorable trip.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the no judgment on this podcast. So no, we have not taken our first trip, first redemption. So I'm not sure, DeAndre, if you've heard of the author called Theodore Geisel. Does that name ring a bell to you?
It does not.
So I basically had to become the Theodore Geisel of player two recruitment. And so the quick story about Theodore Geisel is he was a book writer, wrote children's books. And he approached 27 different publishers and he got a no each time, right? So number one was a no and two a no and so on, all the way to number 27. And finally, somebody said, you know what? Yes, I will say yes to you. And Theodore Geisel went on to become Dr. Seuss. And so sure, most everybody knows who he is, but like, that's really the approach I had to take with my wife. She's like, are you crazy? You want to do what? We have one credit card. You want me to get a credit card and then another card and you're going to get a card. And then we're, you know, how many cards are we going to get? And so all the questions, right? All the questions that you read about, oh my gosh, that's going to kill my credit score. And I mean, how are we going to manage that? And why do we need to have so many cards? And all the normal questions, right? All the questions that I had as I began to look into this. And, but hey, 27 no's got me to that yes. And we're in a good spot. You know, she, in fact, within the last week, she said, you know, we've got until February to hit this next sub. And that she's using the language, you know, DeAndre, that's huge.
It's massive.
To me, so she's like, hey, we've got until February to hit the next sub. I think we're going to be fine. And so we have not done the redemption. She is a fantastic supporter and probably like you, you know, I way outkicked my coverage on this and she really is amazing. But working with a player too really made this accelerate. And it's a bit fun too, right? You know, I got excited about my first signup bonus, right? I'm like, oh, we hit our first signup bonus. And I got excited and she looked at me like I had six heads. Now she says to me, hey, I hit my signup bonus. And so it's also kind of fun, but I think what will really set the hook is that first trip, that first redemption. And, you know, we want to do in a way that we've never done before. You know, we want to travel in a way that we've never traveled before. Maybe a location we've never been. I mean, certainly going to be a location we've never been, right? As long as we don't go to St. Lucia. So yeah, I think that's going to be the really fun part and just really creating those memories with her. And there's so much out there. And quite frankly, I'm tired of looking at them online and I'm tired of reading about them. And I've been doing that my whole life. And so I want to see it and feel it and hear it and soak it all in. So we're starting to circle in on what a destination may be. We've got a few choices, but nothing is final and definitely nothing booked.
Okay. No, I think that's a great start. And I love the background explanation of that because I know that you haven't had the redemption yet. But again, you said that she's been willing, she's getting more comfortable with it, she's using the lingo, and that's all a huge win. And one of the things I'll shout out to, throw out to the listeners, I should say, is if you are working on kind of, not say convincing, but getting your P2 to come around and to be more of a player, actual player two with you, in our comprehensive guide to points and miles on our website, I update this every single year. I have my actual FICO credit score on there. And I know everything on the internet can be faked. And, you know, hopefully, ideally, by listening to me, that built up a little bit more legitimacy and trust. But my FICO credit score, I throw on there. I update it every single year. I believe the one I put up there for this year is, I think it's like an 840 or 860 out of 900 on there, whatever it may be. And that's coming from someone that's got, I've got a literal booklet of cards. I think I've got 20 something cards in there. I've been doing this for 10 years plus. And again, there's weight to what I say being a financial advisor with all the credentials and the licenses and all the things. So I say that to say, if you have someone, they're like, hey, let me show you that this is actually real. This does not have the negative impacts when done correctly. I got to throw that out there. When done correctly, when you manage your finances correctly, when you don't go into insane amounts of debt because you fall in the trap of seeing the shiny objects out there, this can be an incredible, incredible opportunity as you have started to see, Lane. So I want to ask here about the learning curve. What are some of the first things that kind of confused you, maybe surprised you as a very early beginner in the process?
Yeah, it's a foreign language, right? I mean, that's kind of how I looked at it. So many, I mean, the jargon, right? The subs and 524s and transfer portals and, you know, everything was new. And so hearing it and not knowing what it was and then having to go figure out what it was. I mean, there's a lot, you know, I think one of the things that did surprise me is there is a lot of information out there, right? There's podcasts and websites and blogs. And so there's a lot of information that exists. And so I think that's what initially surprised me is that it was not as cut and dry as maybe I thought it was going to be. And then beginning to really learn the difference between the points, right? I mean, I thought a point was a point, you know, a Southwest Rapid Rewards point. And that's what I knew. Oh yeah, we're all in the points game. That's what we do. And, you know, it's not, right? They're not flexible versus, you know, the different types of points and then the different type of ecosystems and then the transfer portals. I mean, I could see that somebody who was new to the game, if they didn't take it in stride, could get overwhelmed because there was a lot more than I think what I originally thought. So, you know, over the last 4 or 5 months, I've gotten a pretty good handle on points and you know, portals and different people have philosophies on should you use a portal, should you not use a portal. So, you know, it's also interesting to hear different people share their thoughts around the game. And so I find that to be interesting. Some people say, absolutely don't use the portal. Other people say, you should use the portal. And some people say, you should do what makes the most sense to you. And I think kind of as a beginner at the end of the day, I would want more people to begin taking advantage of this, right? It's out there. It exists. And this idea on everyday spending and what it can do and what it can create for people, I just want people to begin. And so, you know, I by no means am an expert. I mean, far, far, far from it. But I think people having a general understanding to be able to start, right? What is it? Paralysis by analysis. I mean, I could definitely see that happening quite easy. And to some degree, I mean, it's even happening, you know, to me where I'm at, trying to figure out where I should go and how I should redeem it, what points. And I've kind of gotten in this hoarding phase with all the points, right? That we went home for the holidays for Thanksgiving and I could have used points to stay at a hotel. And it wasn't even a lot of points. You know, it was 3,500 points to stay at a Hyatt. And I was like, I don't want to part with that 3,500 points, right? So I don't know. So I think there's a lot of information out there and that surprised me. I will tell you, the community at large that participates in this surprised me as well. I mean, you know, you've talked about your WhatsApp group and your Facebook group, and, you know, there's a lot of folks out there who are participating in this. And from my limited experience, everybody has been extremely supportive of questions that I've asked. And I mean, I've asked a lot of questions and I've asked some very rudimentary questions. But man, everybody's just been very kind and just very supportive. And it's pretty cool to watch other people who kind of, you know, I'm kind of geeking out over this stuff. And it's pretty cool to watch lots of other folks do that, because the people that don't do that, like my family and P2 in the beginning, a lot of eye rolls and a lot of like, wait, you're doing what? You have another credit card? You know, so I think those were the things that really, really surprised me. All good stuff. I would say kind of maybe something that confused maybe in the beginning, maybe a little bit more, is this idea of the different partners. Ultimate Rewards, they have a certain number of partners, but then they can transfer to other partners. And that's something I haven't fully wrapped my head around because I haven't done a redemption. I get it on the hotel side. That's a lot, I think, easier to see. But I think when you start thinking about specifically international travel, which I've not booked yet, you know, I think that's maybe a little bit of trepidation that I'm focusing on right now, is how do I figure that out and get the best deal, but I don't want to sacrifice the experience that we're wanting to get.
It's 2026, and if you're still paying rent without Bilt, it's time for a change. Bilt is the loyalty program for renters that rewards you for your biggest monthly expense, rent. With Bilt, every rent payment earns you points that can be used towards flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. And here's something I'm really excited about. Starting in February, Bilt members can earn points on mortgage payments for the first time. That means soon you'll be able to get rewarded wherever you live and unlock exclusive benefits with more than 45,000 restaurants, fitness studios, pharmacies, and other neighborhood partners. All you have to do is join Bilt, link your credit cards, and when you spend at your favorite local spots, you can earn Bilt points on top of the rewards you're already getting from those cards. Personally, I'd redeem my points towards a flight on our next big trip or maybe a hotel night for a long layover. It's simple. Paying rent is better with Bilt, and soon owning a home will be better with Bilt too. Earn rewards and get something back wherever you live. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbilt.com/journey. That's joinbilt.com/journey. And make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you. Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's honestly one of the most overwhelming parts of points and miles. It's not the hotel side. Hotels, a lot more cut and dry, a little bit easier, but pretty straightforward. Flights, completely different animal, because you decide that you want to go wherever in the world. You've got to figure out, does my main airport get me there? Do I got to position to a different airport to get me there? Who transfers to who, which is the airline that's going to get me there? Now, thankfully, nowadays, it is so much easier for us to do because we have all these point search tools like points. Yeah, Rome Travel, Seeds.Aero, all these different places. When back in the day, there was really none. And then Point.me came out and that was a big deal. And now comparatively, what we have now versus what Point.me can do is miles different and better. So it's a very different world when trying to search. But then, as you said, for a beginner to say, okay, I'm trying to go to wherever, I've got all of these different currencies, but not all of the currencies transfer to all the same transfer partners. And then some currencies do transfer to, or I should say some transfer partners transfer to almost all the transfer currencies, like a British Airways or a Air France KLM Flying Blue. But then finding out, okay, I need points on Aer Lingus or Qatar Airways. My current transfer or currency that I'm using doesn't transfer to either of those. But to know that you can transfer to British Airways Avios, and British Airways Avios can transfer to Iberia, Aer Lingus, Qatar Airways Avios, all those different things. It's a whole spider web, and that can be a little daunting, which is why, as you said, the community can be a huge help. And one of the things I've loved in kind of my vantage point with building the community and seeing is all the comments of people saying this is one of my favorite places to chat, to communicate, like in our WhatsApp community chat, because it is such a healthy and positive place. People aren't bringing each other down, saying negative things, being snarky. They're being super helpful because this is a safe place to talk through all the things that most people in your friend circle don't want to talk about. You know, me and my financial advisor buddies, we can talk investments and 401ks and our bank account balances and all the things like it's nothing, but my friends don't want to talk about those same things at cocktails. So it's very, very similar having that system all together. But I can also understand where the things that just kind of click in our minds nowadays for someone new, that can be a really, really overwhelming process.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that really is the most challenging piece right now for me, is the who transfers to where and how do you get it there. But again, I think it's not just that, right? It's the spider web, but it changes. And in 5 months, I mean, there's been so much change in the points and miles space. And I'm not sure if that's just the norm, that it's always changed that quickly. But I mean, even in 5 months, I mean, there's been significant change with people dropping transfer partners or, you know, no life language on different cards. I mean, Chase Inc. and changing that and the Chase Sapphire Preferred and Reserved. And this is, you know, within the last probably three months. And so the fact that it does change so quickly, and there's a lot of folks who are casual in this space, who are like, wait a second, I just applied and I got the pop-up, right? And people are referring to it as pop-up jail, which I've heard, I think you mentioned as well. And so, I mean, I think the speed with which it's changing also has surprised me a little bit. But to me, I don't know any different. That's just the way it's been in the last, you know, 5 months, 4 months or so.
Well, unfortunately, Lane, I think you were the catalyst, because I think you came to Points and Miles and then all the companies were like, we got to do something different. So that's why all the redemption, all the devaluations and all the things have changed since the 5 months that you've been doing Points and Miles.
I'd like to officially apologize to all your listeners and to the entire Points and Miles world. Please accept my apology.
So, Lane, I think you're off to a really great start. Can you talk a little bit about what your card strategy has been? I know you started with the Amex Gold card. And since then, what are some of the other cards that you have opened, that your wife has opened? What have we started to go after or chase down? And what's kind of to come? Like, what's the path that you've set yourselves on currently? And I know you have a sub that your wife said, hey, we won't hit until, or we have until February to hit, but What's the path that you guys are currently on?
Yeah, so Amex Gold was the first card and then followed very quickly with a Chase Sapphire Reserve. You know, that was all about the lounge access, quite frankly. I had some trips coming up. And then I know your listeners are going to yell at this, their phone, their screen, whatever they're looking at, because I added my wife as an authorized user to that. I mean, I can hear the people screaming at me right now, but that was the second card. And then my wife then moved her first card, was a Chase Sapphire preferred card. And since we've hit that sub, we've hit the Amex sub, we've hit the Chase Sapphire Reserve sub. And then the Chase Inc. Cash was the next card that I opened, and we have hit that sub. And now she is working currently on her Chase Inc. Cash as well. And that will be that's the next sub. So that's where we stand. You know, quite frankly, velocity matters. I mean, I keep reading about that, and I've got to remind myself that this is a marathon and this is not a sprint, which for at least me, that's a tougher thing to kind of hold back on. I need to pump the brakes a touch, but you know, that's where we are right now. I really think Chase is the ecosystem to live in. From everything I've read, you know, it's a very flexible opportunity, great hotels with Hyatt. So we're really living in the Chase space right now, but I also wanted to diversify the points. And I think that's good that Amex is in the mix as well, that I can continue to earn those points. I'm a bit worried that I don't have the Capital One ecosystem at this point. And all the data points that I've been reading over the last few months talk about how sensitive Capital One is. And so, you know, I've not applied for a Capital One, but I think that may be the next on my horizon, is to look at a Capital One card.
Got it. Now, I want to go take a quick step back, because you mentioned two cards there that caught my attention, only because I don't typically hear newer individuals in the world of points and miles getting the business cards so soon, unless they're a business owner. Now, I know you're CEO of a nonprofit, so maybe you ran it through the business, but I also heard you say your wife has one as well. So I'm curious, was there any hesitation? Or, I mean, that's one of probably the harder things for people to wrap their head around, is the, wait, I can get a business credit card even if I don't own a traditional, what people would think of as a business. So what was your thoughts there? And can you kind of talk through that a little bit more?
Yeah, so I was the first one to get the business card, and I hesitated. Same idea, right? Well, I did not get it through the nonprofit, through my job. But, you know, this idea about having sole proprietor, right? I mean, that's how I would classify what I do on the side with consulting and some other things. And so it did qualify me, but there was definitely hesitancy about that. You know, I'm not making a significant amount of money. Does that matter? How is that going to affect, you know, again, I mean, initially it was, how does that affect my credit? How does that affect my approval odds? Should I do this? You know, legally, should I do this? I mean, you know, there's all of these thoughts that came into play. And certainly I did an immense amount of research on that and to make sure. So after I felt comfortable and I did apply and was approved, and that was a wonderful thing. And then going to P2 and saying, hey, here's another idea, right? I mean, I know we just got on the same page with the points and miles and us working together and playing together, but here's another one. And she's like, what? Like, what do you mean? And so, you know, having that conversation, and, you know, for her, she sells a lot of things on Facebook Marketplace, and having that conversation with her to say, hey, this actually is a side business. And so, you know, again, showing her the information and helping her feel more comfortable with it, probably not a rookie move, right? To your point, but, you know, DeAndre, when I said I went down the rabbit hole, like I didn't just go halfway in. I mean, I got down in it and have been doing just a lot of work in it and really trying to understand as much as I can around all the, what you can, what you can't, what you should, what you shouldn't. Because, I mean, ethics and, you know, my character matter a tremendous amount to me, and I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that. So certainly a hesitation in the beginning until I was able to educate myself.
Perfect. I love that explanation. I think a lot of this is understanding how it works, because it can absolutely sound too good to be true, right? Like, oh yeah, I flew to the Maldives and spent $100 for a $10,000 ticket, you know, flight, right? That's not the reality of it. Although on Instagram, that has a great headline, on a blog, it has a great headline. But understanding the reality of the nuances of how a lot of these things work, I compare it in a way like extreme couponing, when you would hear people like buying hundreds of dollars. I don't know if they still do it now, but at least back in the day, hundreds of dollars worth of groceries, and they pay like 3 cents, right? After all the coupons are added up and factored in. It took research to be able to do it. Now, thankfully, we don't have to have, you know, a basement full of tomato sauce because we bought so much things in bulk with this hobby. But it is understanding that there does take some time, some research, but you can learn as you go. So one of the things I have for you, actually, if you haven't considered, and this could be also helpful for a listener listening that's a beginner as well, that's considering wanting to add Capital One but concerned about their velocity, is if you haven't seen this already, is that you can look at freezing your Experian report specifically, because Capital One looks at TransUnion and Equifax. And so Experian, by freezing that, that can give you the opportunity, because I think other card companies, I forgot which ones, they report specifically to Experian primarily. So you actually, your velocity looks less when you freeze your Experian report. And you actually have the ability to get better approval odds for Capital One. It's not guaranteed, obviously, but we've had in our WhatsApp chat, a lot of members actually talk through the fact that they had success by freezing their Experian before applying for Capital One, and it didn't impact them from being able to get approved for Capital One cards.
Yeah, I love that. And I really appreciate that. And that's certainly something sounds like I need to do when I do apply. I mean, you know, the idea is what I keep hearing, what I've heard on your show and read other places as well, is, you know, when you have these big spends coming up that are natural big spends, you know, that's a really good time to look and consider the next card. And, you know, we're in the season, you know, we're recording this at some point before the holidays, but that's a natural time. And then the first of the year, you know, there's taxes that also come up, and we just happen to have some other expenses that we know are coming that we have been able to budget for and put money aside. So it goes back to a lot of what you preach on your show, which is, you know, being responsible, right? Not opening up cards and overextending your limit, you're paying off your balances at the end. You know, for us, that's been really important, that we're, the things that we do that we have saved up money for, that we've budgeted for, these large expenses will come up. And so I think that's where I'm eyeing the Capital One for the next card, is based around some of these kind of known expenses. But I appreciate that strategy, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Absolutely, Lane. Well, as we start to wrap up a little bit, I do want to ask, I'm curious, because you hinted towards it. You said that you and your wife have some places in mind that you're looking to go for this kind of first redemption, this next slash first trip in points and miles. What are some of the contenders? And it could just be locations. It doesn't have to be specific resorts. Maybe you have some specific resorts in mind, but what's the contenders out there that you guys are considering?
Yeah, that's great. I'd love for you to weigh in on this as well. So that was part of the negotiation, right? You know, she's a fierce negotiator, is, hey, I'll come into this. And so what am I going to give her, right? So I basically said, give me a list of places that you'd really want to go that maybe you've never been. And you mentioned the Maldives earlier. The idea of over the water hut has been, I mean, she's been telling me this for 12 years, so this isn't a new thing. And I looked at the prices, you know, 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm in the wrong profession if that's where we're going to try to go. So certainly looking at the Maldives, someplace tropical like that with over the water huts. I kept baiting Hawaii. She wasn't biting on Hawaii, but I think the other is Italy. I think that's another idea that she came up with. You know, we're very good travelers together. We like to do sites. We like to see history. We like to do those things when we go to other places, you know, more specifically in the States, but we also love to chill, right? We love to recharge. We love all inclusives. We don't have to get up at 6 a.m. and come back at, you know, 2 in the morning, and we've been running all over, you know, wherever we've been. That's not how we roll. We love to have a pretty good balance of see the sights, enjoy the local flavor and flair. But I mean, at the heart, we really like to get away and recharge, unplug, and use that, right, to kind of catapult us when we get back. So the all-inclusive piece, you know, although not a location, that would be a contender, something all-inclusive, Italy, the Maldives. And then I think the last thing is how we get there. Like, I really want to make the first redemption something special, something we've never done before. I mean, I've never flown first class. She hasn't either. You know, I think one time I sat like in a premium economy, maybe on a Delta flight. Man, you would have thought I was, you know, Mark Cuban, you know, flying in my private jet. But we haven't done that before. And so I think that's part of what will make the trip special, is that opportunity to experience something like that new.
Yeah, I love that. I love all the things you said. I think a lot of those can be different experiences. So I never like to give unsolicited advice. So I think you gave me permission to throw in some input, correct?
Yes. Oh, please do. We'd love to hear what you think.
So my thoughts are all of those are great options. And I think realistically, there's levels to what I'm thinking. So I think obviously Maldives is absolutely beautiful. It's aspirational. It's amazing. It takes a lot of points and a lot of strategy to get there. I've done it twice. It's not impossible, but it does take a lot of points, the timing wise. And then of course, then the points, not just for the flights, but if you want to use it for the hotel stays as well. And one thing to note, as an example, if you want to stay at the Park Hyatt in the Maldives, well, then the points will get you their beach villas, but you have to pay cash, which is somewhere, I believe, in the realm of a $400 to $700 a night upgrade to get the overwater villas. Right? So that's a much more additional or an added expense. Not to mention the Maldives, as I've mentioned on the show before, there's a lot of added costs that just make the Maldives expensive. Like to just get to the Park Hyatt, once you land in Mali, you have to pay for a domestic flight that they figure out through the resort, which is about $700 per person round trip. So there's a lot of additional expenses. Food's expensive. So the Maldives can be great, but you can be like, oh, I use points for all these things. And you get there, you're paying $50 for a hamburger as well. So love the Maldives, but that's where I'd say be ready to have a lot more additional expenses. And of course, to blow through a lot more points to do it. So I'll pause there on the Maldives, see if there's any questions with that one.
Yeah, you had me at $50 hamburger. So what about Italy? Talk to me about Italy.
Yeah. So to be very clear, I am not dissuading any of these things, but I think it's helpful, again, for a beginner to also know like some of the realities of these things that I and others have experienced. Now, Italy, I think, is an incredible opportunity and amazing for multiple reasons. And the biggest one being business class to Europe is one of the easiest point redemptions there is for business class travel. Because all you have to do, especially because you're on the East Coast, is say, use a pointsier.com or something like that to say, I want to go from the East Coast of the United States to Europe. And that's it. And you will find opportunities on Virgin, on KLM, British Airways, all these different options that are going to possibly go to Paris or to Rome or to Barcelona, whatever it may be. And all you have to do is pay the equivalent of flying, you know, in cash from an Atlanta to Miami to go from Paris to Italy or something along those lines. So the points aspect is amazing. And then of course, you can use points for so many, there's so many hotel options, there's so many Hyatt options, so many different places where you can use points. Now, are you gonna get the all-inclusive aspect? No. And it's usually a little bit less of the sitting back, relaxing, drinking a Mai Tai like you can get in the Maldives. But at the same time, you're going to be in a place where the food's incredible. You'll be able to walk around, adventure, see sights, and you can do pretty much all of your flights and your stays on points and just basically pay for food and other things. So I think Italy is an incredible opportunity, and you can really have a great, memorable flight and experience flying business class. And I recommend if you do it, get a daytime business class flight, not an red eye. That way you're not just sleeping and you're actually enjoying the champagne on the plane and enjoying the business class experience.
Yeah, that's great feedback. And again, I don't know if I said this earlier, you lost me at $50 hamburger. But what about the all-inclusive route?
Yeah, so all-inclusive. So I'm a big fan of all-inclusives, especially in the Caribbean. One of our favorite hotel chains are Secrets, which Secrets is a Hyatt brand property. Their higher tier level is Impressions. And anything in general, because it sounds like it would just be you and your wife. So I'd go adults only. They have a couple other brands that are adults only. I think Zoetree as well. I've actually not stayed at a Zoetree brand, but Secrets I know very consistently does very well at the majority of their properties. There's a couple to avoid, but for the most part, Secrets are going to be great. With all inclusives and Hyatt, so as I'm sure you know, Hyatt has their categories 1 through 8 on the hotel side. Well, on the all inclusive side, it's A through F. A Secrets property that is a D, E, or F level is going to be a fantastic experience and somewhere in the realm of 25 to 45,000 points per night, to 35 being the sweet spot. But for a couple, that's 35,000 points as an example. That's everything. That's your stay, all your food, all your alcohol, everything outside of other excursions. And you can capture that really well in the Caribbean and Mexico all over. So depending on where you want to go, I mean, there's a Secrets in Aruba that just opened up all through the Riviera Maya in Mexico. There's like 10 of them, if not 15, on just the Caribbean side of Mexico, not even talking about Cabo, the California side. But then even going farther down into Jamaica, in Montego Bay, there's the Zilara brand of Hyatt hotels, which is adults only as well, all inclusive. So you can really, really go well with your hotel stays on points. Now, the harder thing there is getting that business class flight, and it's not going to really feel the same way. It's just going to be the front of flying from Georgia to New York. It's not going to really have that lie flat, really cool business class experience, but the resort stay is going to be pretty incredible there. So you can really get that all-inclusive aspect and stay in a really incredible place. The flight's just not going to be as memorable as it would flying to Italy.
Yeah, that all makes sense. I mean, I'm leaning towards one of the three, but I got to get P2 to weigh in on it. We got to just make sure it's the right first redemption for us. But all great feedback, and I really appreciate your insights on that.
Absolutely. And one thing I'll throw out as well, there are other places where you can get the villa over the water outside of the Maldives. I have not been, but in Bora Bora, Morea, different places like that, which I've heard more points and miles people have go to that have had a great time and found options that are over water with points that were not as expensive or as hard to get to as the Maldives. I haven't actually ever routed a trip there myself, so haven't had to kind of figure that out, but that could be a potential plan B to still get incredible flight that's business class, over water villa stay, and not be as difficult to plan and out as something as far as the Maldives, since it's on the literal other side of the world.
Yeah, DeAndre, most importantly, what do you hear about the hamburger prices in Bora Bora?
So I haven't heard what the prices are for a hamburger in Bora Bora. I have, however, heard through a couple of creators that the food in Bora Bora was nowhere near as good as the food in the Maldives. So if you're paying dollar for dollar, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a really, really good $50 hamburger. It was just still a $50 hamburger, but I wouldn't want to pay for a $50 hamburger that was bad. It was fine-ish because it tasted good, but I actually don't know what the cost is of a hamburger in Bora Bora, but we'll see if in the group chat we'll get some comments and some feedback from those that have been.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe throw it out in the chat and see what people say.
Oh, we can do that. Awesome, Lane. Well, we need to start wrapping up here. I want to ask another question here before we really wrap up, which is if you could just give one piece of advice to another beginner that's just starting out. And I know there's a lot of things that we could tell them, a lot of different things that we can suggest, especially someone that's with my experience level or others, but just from one beginner to another, what would it be?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You had an episode, and I don't remember the number, but you had a two-part, and it was Warren Buffett, right? You were, I think, the 10 principles of Warren Buffett, I think is what you would. It was kind of the idea. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was, again, walking, always walking and having you in my ear, right? And I was walking on a treadmill in a hotel, and two things stuck out at me. So you said one piece of advice. I'm going to combine them very quickly. But I think the first thing is it was no called strike game, right? So the idea is that you don't have to take a swing at everything, right? I'm a baseball guy by trade. And I think that's really important for people who start and are trying to figure out, do I get a card and which card do I get? And then you get a card and then all of a sudden you see another offer with another bonus. And now you're taking a swing at that. And, you know, that big shiny object is just the shiny object that happens to be in front of you. So I would say you don't have to swing at everything. That would be the first thing that I would say. And then I think I alluded to this earlier, but one of the other principles was if you can spend, and I may be misquoting this, DeAndre, but if you can spend 6 to 8 hours a week on investments, then you should be focused on investments. And I would say the same thing to this. There's so much information out there. It can seem complicated and complex, but the reality is you don't have to spend 6 to 8 hours on this, right? There's benefit for you just to get started. And that's really what I said earlier is, how can more people understand the basics behind points and miles and then ultimately begin to get the benefit of it? So it's okay if you can't go down the rabbit hole like I have or spend the last 10 years doing this like you have, right? That's okay. But I think there's a lot of benefit. So however much time you have, there's value in it, I think, for people. And then two, don't swing at everything.
Awesome, Lane. I think that was absolutely fantastic advice. The two episodes you're referring to was episode 92 and 97, where we took 5 and 5, so 10 total different principles from Warren Buffett. And I tried to do something a little bit different with that, which was connecting my world as a financial advisor and saying, hey, if Warren Buffett was into points and miles, which I don't think he was or is, but if he was, how can we apply those same principles to points and miles? And you hit on one of the key ones there, which is, hey, you don't have to go after everything. You don't have to swing for every card that's out there. You know, you do want to make sure that you play your game specifically. And I think that was immensely helpful as well. Lane, it's been fantastic having you on the show. It's been a fantastic discussion. I know that when we were talking off air, you had been thinking of getting a podcast started that's about a beginner's journey into points and miles. And I know that that is launched and is, you know, we're off to the races with it. So can you tell a little bit to the listeners about where they can follow you and your journey into points and miles?
Yeah. Thanks for that. And thanks for inspiring me, quite frankly, to take the plunge and do something that I never would have done. But the name of the podcast is Points Rookie, right? So a rookie in the points world. So Points Rookie, it'll be available where all the podcasts are. They can also email at Lane. It's Lane at Points Rookie. And then Facebook, Points Rookie, Instagram, those kinds of things. So I'll be around. And again, you know, just the reason is really about serving and trying to help others get educated on this and get started and get the benefit that I think folks so badly need out of this. And, you know, from the nonprofit piece, you know, I just think about I know we need to wrap up, but I feel led to say, you know, there's about 13 million nonprofit employees in the country. Nonprofit space accounts for about $1.4 trillion of economic activity. And there's a lot of folks who are really giving their heart, their soul, and pouring into others because it matters to them. And I just think, gosh, how many of those folks could benefit from points and miles and travel, be it international, be it weekend getaways, but just some way to pour into themselves and recharge. Because they give so much to others, and I would certainly love for more people to be able to give to themselves a little bit more.
That was fantastically said, Lane. We'll go ahead and link to all of your things in the show notes as well, so listeners can follow you and follow your points rookie journey as well. Last two questions, then we're going to wrap this one up. First one, I always like to ask, who next or who else should we have on the show in the future, do you think?
Well, I absolutely think you've already had Chris Hutchins on, but man, I think if you can get that guy back on, I mean, he's just dynamite and a wealth of knowledge. But I'm not sure if you've had a gentleman named Richard Kerr. Have you had him on the show?
I have not. Multiple people have mentioned him. I've met him in person a couple of times. He is with Built, obviously, and we've exchanged emails, and then also he's been extremely busy. So haven't had success in getting him on the show. He's probably one of the hardest persons I've been trying to get on the show for over a year now, but he is someone that's on the radar to get on a future episode.
Yeah, it'd be interesting on the Built, right? There's a lot of activity around Built, and the rent piece is you know, tremendous, but I believe they're coming out with some new cards in the early 2026. So it sounds like they're doing some interesting things and expanding. So I don't know. He may be, if you can pin him down, I think he'd be a good guest.
We'll try to do that. Lane, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, just two things, right? Which is thank you to you again for producing the show and the content and doing it in a way that is interesting. A lot of points and miles, but you also talk about destinations as well. But then you change it and spin it, you know, just with the idea of the Warren Buffett. So it keeps it fresh and makes people think differently. So, you know, I greatly appreciate all the work that goes into that and challenging and inspiring me, quite frankly, to go on this journey. And then I just think the other thing I would say is a public thank you again to you for your service. Certainly, as I was preparing for our time together, learning a little bit more about you, not so much from the podcast you, but the community you, and you do participate, you do serve on boards, you do give back to the community. And as a person that matters deeply to, as a nonprofit professional, just, hey, thank you so much for giving back and helping people in your community and making it a better place. That you don't know how much that means to your community and certainly to folks like me.
Lane, I appreciate it. Sincerely, thank you for the kind words as well. I think there's no better way to wrap this one up. So I will say thank you as well to yourself. You've been fantastic. Very different perspective to have someone so new into points and miles, but so engaged, so on fire with it, and so ready to set the world aflame to spread more news and great content on the world of points and miles as well. So thanks again for being on the show.
Hey, man, no problem. Look forward to grabbing a $50 burger with you one day.
Sounds great. And if you enjoyed this show today, be sure to follow us on all social media channels. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, sign up for our newsletter. As Lane said, our WhatsApp community and Facebook group are fantastic, healthy, safe spaces for you to be able to share your points and miles wins, your questions, your thoughts, and get that zero judgment world as well. If your trip of a lifetime is to Birmingham, Alabama, brag about it. Let's do it. Let's go there. But if it's also you want to go to the Maldives and enjoy a $50 burger with Lane, let's figure out how to make it happen as well. For all the listeners out there as well, thank you so much. Make sure to like, subscribe, tell your friends, do all the things, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.